Well, good morning, Spanish River Church. We've woken up to a weird world where everything has been disrupted in unexpected ways. Our plans have been disrupted. Our rhythms have been disrupted. Our spring breaks have been disrupted. Our schools have been disrupted. Even our workplaces and our places of worship have been disrupted. But one thing that has not been disrupted is God's faithfulness. And this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 6 as we start a brand new series called Unshakable Faith that shows us how faithful and how great our God truly is. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that this morning, in light of everything that is going on in the world around us in the midst of COVID-19, that we can sing of your faithfulness, that we can sing of your steadfastness, that we can sing of your greatness. Because God, you are the creator of the universe. You hold everything in your hands, including us. And so God, we come before you this morning and we worship you because you truly are faithful. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I appreciate you gathering with us online this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 46. I woke up Monday morning, like many of you, freaked out about all that was going on around us. And this text, Psalms 46, came to mind. I just began to preach it to myself because we are living in a world in which there's a lot of talk about flattening the curve. And I think one of the curves we need to flatten is the curve of fear. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we can find comfort in the age of viral anxiety. Now, viral anxiety is anxiety on top of already the everyday anxiety that we experience. Viral anxiety is this collective anxiety that we all feel when unusual circumstances like COVID-19 hit us. And so we're living in a world of headlines like this, like parents and students nationwide contend with school closures. Overwhelming anxiety, the headline writes. Another headline, Florida, that I woke up to this morning. Florida reports 763 confirmed coronavirus cases and 12 deaths. Another headline I woke up to this morning. Stock market's gain under Trump vanishes in the wake of the coronavirus. Now, in light of all of these headlines, I want to read Psalms 46 to us this morning because I think it will infuse in us a deep comfort that we desperately need. And so the psalmist sings, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdom totters, but he utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth, how he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And then the psalmist sings, be still and know that I am God. I shall be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is with us. Now, the psalmist begins with a confession that forges in us an unshakable faith in these uncertain times. Look at it with me again. Verse 1, God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Now, I want you to notice the very first word the psalmist sings when all the world, all this chaos that we've read in this chapter is unfolding around him, and he's saying his focus, his first word is God. Now, oftentimes we look at our first focus is on the circumstances around us. The psalmist is saying now more than ever, we need to focus our hearts and focus our minds on God. And here's why. Because in the midst of crises, we need our eyes fixed and focused on God because he is our refuge and strength. And so what does it mean practically for God to be our refuge and strength? Now, refuge is someone or something you run to in the midst of crisis. For the psalmist, his refuge wasn't a place, but a person. Our comfort and hope is not found in something created, but in the Creator. Like crises, like the ones we are experiencing, exposes all the false saviors that we run to for comfort, for hope, for a future, for a security. The default mode of our hearts is to put our hope in our future and our security in created things rather than our Creator. We put our hope, our jobs, our retirement accounts, our savings accounts, and even our health. And yet, all those things are good, but they can't be the source of our ultimate hope. It is in times like these when everything created, including health and life itself, seems so uncertain and so frail. I think one of the great blessings of crises is it shows us how frail and fleeting created things really are. It forces us to take stock of our faith. It helps us to run to God because everything else seems so uncertain. It is in moments like these that help us see that God and God alone is our refuge. Now, God is not only our refuge, but he is our strength. When we run to God as our refuge, he infuses in our hearts strength and courage to face this crisis and all of crisis of lives. Notice the source of our strength. It says, God is our strength. We can experience supernatural strength, not because it's something we have to muster up in and of ourselves, but because it is something that is found in the presence of God. I love the very next line. It says that God is our very present help in trouble. We have strength because we have his presence. Now, the noun trouble here means, listen to this definition, it means distressed, cramped quarters, a constricted feeling. God is present in the midst of our mounting stress and pressures, in our social distancing, in our isolation, in our homes. God's presence is there. When our chest tightens from anxiety, God's presence is there. He is a very present help in trouble. Now, my wife shared with me this past week that when she feels the anxiety and stress of life, she often lays down and just breathes deeply and sings to herself, "Good, good Father." I think it's important for us to remind ourselves in moments like these that we have a good, good Father, that he is our refuge and strength. Now, in light of this confession that God is our refuge and strength, the psalmist gives us four big truths. For the psalmist, circumstances were big, but God is bigger. Like for us, the coronavirus is big, but God is bigger. Now, we need to take seriously the coronavirus because it is a big deal. But what the psalmist is telling us is God is bigger. Look at the first word in verse 2. He says, therefore, in light of the truth that God is our refuge and our strength, he says, therefore, we will not fear. Now, that's a strong declaration. Fear says, what if? And we live in a world of what if questions. What if I lose my income? What if I lose my job? What if my kids don't ever go back to school? What if I get sick? What if a loved one gets sick? What if I run out of toilet paper? Now, we all live in a world of what-if questions. What is your what-if questions? The default mode of our heart is often fear, and we need to flatten the curve of fear. How do we do that? It's simple, with faith. Faith doesn't say what if. Faith says even if. Did you see that in verse 2? Let me substitute the word though for even if, all right? We will not fear, the psalmist says, even if the earth gives way, even if the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, even if its waters roar and foam, even if the mountains tremble, we will not fear. The psalmist is saying in the face of cataclysmic events like COVID-19, he declares, I will not fear. Now, how can the psalmist make such a bold proclamation in the face of uncertainty and death? Here's how. His confession is that God is our refuge and our strength. The single truth that shapes the psalmist's heart and the way he thinks and the way he reacts to crisis is this single truth. Now, parenting in the age of social distancing is difficult in many, many ways. Perhaps the biggest challenge is helping your child manage their anxiety, their own anxiety, and the anxiety they are picking up from you. Now, one of the ways to flatten out that curve of anxiety in your child's heart is just to simply be honest about your own anxiety. To share with them, hey, I am anxious too. But then in faith, confess with your child that coronavirus is big. I mean, it's a big deal, but God is bigger. Now, wherever you're at in your home, on your couch, watching this on television or your device, whoever you're with, I want you to turn to them right now and confess. The 10 people that are in this room are going to confess this with me this morning. Just turn to someone and say, coronavirus is big, but God is bigger. Confess that. Okay, the 10 people in this room are not really that convinced of this truth. So let's say it like we meant it, all right? Coronavirus is big, but God is bigger. I mean, that's a truth we need to remember. That's a truth you may want to just stop right now, because I know a lot of you are on your phones on Facebook right now. Why don't you just post that truth to remind your friends and families that God is bigger. Now, this is our confession, but I want you to notice that this confession is not made in isolation. It is not a confession of an individual. Notice the plural pronouns in there, our and we. Underline that in your Bible. Circle those pronouns in your Bible. You are not alone. We are a church that confesses together that God is our refuge and strength. This is why more than ever we need to experience spiritual connectedness in this age of social distancing. And so this week, get on Zoom with your life group. Last night, my wife and I were talking about, we're gonna Zoom with our life group tonight and just remind each other of God's faithfulness in the midst of this crisis. Remind your group that God is our strength and refuge, our very present help in trouble. Now, here's the second big truth found in verse 4. That God's voice is bigger. I love the imagery that the psalmist paints in verse 4. He says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a stream that infuses joy into the hearts of God's people. Now, this stream is like the stream that is mentioned in Psalms 1, where in Psalms 1, 2, it speaks of a man, a person who is blessed because he delights in the word of God and he meditates on it day and night. And then in verse 3, it says this, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, during this season and all seasons, we need to be planted in streams of water. Our roots need to be firmly planted into the word of God. It is then that we will flourish. The psalmist says in verse 6, the nations rage and the kingdom totters, but God utters his voice and the earth melts. Now, the imagery the psalmist is getting at is that when God speaks, his words shape the earth. The earth melts. It's kind of like there is this voice that my wife speaks to me in that just melts my heart. I'm like, whatever you want, honey, whatever you want. That is biblically God's voice is the voice that has power to create, speak into existence everything in this world that we can and cannot see. It has the power to speak and the winds and the waves obey it. Now, there are a lot of voices that are bombarding us right now. I mean, with the 24-hour news cycle, there is just voice after voice after voice that is bombarding us. And there are some voices we need to listen to. And there are other voices we need to ignore. But there is one voice above all other voice that we need to listen to, and that is God's voice, because when he speaks to us through his word, he melts our hearts and forges in us an unshakable faith. Now, verse 8 shows us the next big truth. God's work is bigger. Look at verse 8. It says, come and behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. This is an invitation. The psalmist is saying, come, come, behold the works of the Lord. Let your mind be blown by how great our God is. Let God's bigness be put on display by his works. It's an invitation to be captivated by the bigness of God. Isaiah puts it this way in the form of a question in Isaiah 40:12. He says that, who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marks off the heaven? The answer is no one but God. Like God's greatness is able to hold the oceans in the hollow of his hand and measure out the expanse of the universe and just simply the span of his hand. And it is that hand that holds you. Like God got you. Now that's not good grammar, but that's good gospel. And we need to be reminded of the greatness of our God and his ability to hold you in the midst of crises. God is in control over all of creation. Crises like COVID-19 strips us of the illusion that we are under control. We all like to be in control. There's aspects of all of us that we are control freaks. Like, I don't know how it is in your house, but in my house, there's a person in my house who will remain unnamed, but that person loves to open cabinet doors and they've never realized, they just think cabinet doors go this way. It's never dawned on them that maybe they swing back the other way. And so cabinet doors left all over the place in my house, and I'm just a control, like there's something in me that cannot rest because I have to have everything closed in the house. And so even at night, I'll hear this person in the kitchen and think to myself, there's a cabinet door open. It's not a big deal. Just go to sleep. The world, the sun will rise in the morning. But as I lay there, I'm thinking there's a cabinet door open. There can't be a cabinet door open. There's a cabinet door open. And so I make some excuse like I'm hungry and I'll get out of bed to close the cabinet doors. Why? Because I'm a control freak. Every one of us have aspect of our lives where we want control. We want to have control. But with the coronavirus has clearly done is a stripped us of any illusion that we have any kind of control whatsoever, and much less control of cabinet doors. And so the psalmist is singing of God's power over chaos and uncertainty. It's saying there is not an enemy too great for God, coronavirus notwithstanding, that he is in control so we don't have to be. We can rest in his handiwork. Because it is bigger than coronavirus. Now, verse 10 brings us to a fourth and final big truth. And that is God's glory is bigger. Listen to this verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Don't waste your social distancing. Don't waste your social distancing. Take advantage of slowing down and focusing on the bigness of God. Being still is in contrast to verse 2 of the chaos we see. And even though everything around us seems to be chaotic and uncertain, your heart can be still. But your heart can be full of faith because God is our refuge and our strength. It is when we know this that our hearts are still. Well, our hearts are still because we know that God is ultimately in control, that his voice is shaping our hearts, that we are captivated by his work. And that's when he becomes our refuge and our strength. Now you see, now more than ever, the world around us needs to see how glorious God truly is. And when we put on display God's bigness because of our stillness, God is exalted in our lives. People will look to us and say, how can you be so still? How can you be so calm? How can you be so confident? How can you walk in such comfort? And we can just simply say, it's easy. This is our confession. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Now, I would contend now more than ever that our world needs to see God exalted in our lives. The world needs to see the bigness of God in our stillness. He will be glorified in our unshakable faith. Now, this brings us to the last verse, verse 11. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the second time the psalmist in these 11 verses has repeated this truth. It's just a reiteration, really, of verse 1. So you could say the psalmist has repeated this truth three times. Why is he so repetitive? It's because we need to be reminded of this truth every single day. No days off. We're not going to get a day off from the news bombarding us with this crisis. And so we shouldn't take a day off of letting God's voice speak to us and to be captivated by his power and his works within our lives. And so each day this week, our staff members are going to be leading a Bible study online on Facebook at 7 a.m. through this psalm so that God's voice can shape our hearts during this crisis. Join us. We need to be reminded of this truth of God every single day. And so let me ask you this question. What will your faith look like on the other side of this crisis? Now, don't waste your crisis. Let God use this season of social distancing to be a season of spiritual deepening, that God could forge in you an unshakable faith. Now, here's how I'd like to wrap up our time together. For those of you who are logging in and streaming these services and you're sitting here going, God, I don't know. I don't know about the whole God or Jesus or the Bible thing. I just know my world has been turned upside down. And I'm not sure who to turn to, who to look for hope and comfort to. Let me share with you this. The blessing of the coronavirus is that it strips us of this illusion that we have any kind of control of our lives whatsoever. It reminds us that we are not in control, and yet we desperately are clinging for anything that could give us a sense of control, anything created. The Bible calls this sin. When we look to anything created rather than our Creator for hope and for comfort and for future and for security. That is the bad news of the gospel, because looking to anything created, this is so evident in this moment which we find ourselves in, that we can't put our hope or identity in created things. Because when we do, it leads to destruction and death. And that is the bad news of the gospel. But there is a good news of the gospel. The good news is that God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to walk on the earth and live a sinless life. And to, in obedience, he went to the cross to die the death that we all deserve. And on the cross, God the Father put all of my sin and all of your sin, because of our desire to be in control, instead of letting our Creator be in control. And Jesus paid the penalty of our sin, which is death, so that we could have life and life to its fullest. So as the psalmist sings, that our lives could flourish because our hope and our security and our future and our comfort and our confidence is rooted in the God who is our refuge and our strength. I want to invite you this morning, as you watch this online, realizing that you have no control, so why not surrender your life to the one who is ultimately in control? He will give in you, forge in you, an unshakable faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the midst of these weird, weird times that we can sing of your faithfulness. That God, you are, that coronavirus is big, but you are bigger. That your voice is bigger than all the voices that we're bombarded with, that your works are greater, are bigger than any work of coronavirus, that you are in control, and so we can be still. Our hearts can be forged with an unshakable faith, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And so this morning, for those of you who have never put your hope and your faith in the Creator of the universe, all you have to do is simply say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for trying to take control of my life. It is so evident that I have no control of my life, so I can surrender my life to you. To you, not only as the Creator of the universe, but also my Heavenly Father, because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross in paying the penalty of my sin, which is death, so that I could have life and life for all of eternity. Heavenly Father, through a work of your grace, forge in me an unshakable heart.